St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It is the third Sunday of Easter and the first Sunday of Easter that I've been able to be here with you. So, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It is so good to see all of you. Thank you so much for your thoughts and your prayers for me and for my husband. I am glad to be able to state that he is doing much better than when I first arrived in California.
Praise the Lord.
Stable enough that I felt that I was able to leave him for a few weeks and come back and be with you. So please continue to hold Scott and his doctors in your prayers. They are very much appreciated. I am so grateful to everyone who stepped up and stepped in during the time that I was gone, because without you, I would have been unable to do that. And so I'm so, so grateful that you gave me the opportunity to be with him. There are a few announcements. Monday, our food pantry volunteers are Buck Gilbert and Dean Knauer. On Tuesday at 10 a.m., we have Bible study here. We are starting something new for Bible study. We finished our study on angels, and for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about women of the Bible. Michelle, do you want to say something about that, or do you want me just to keep prattling?
Oh, I could say something real
quick. Would you please?
Because if you'd like to join us at 10 o'clock on Tuesdays, each of us are taking a different lady. And so if you have a special one you'd like to talk about or want me to sign you one, I could. It should be fun and just getting to know some of the different ladies of the Bible.
And there are some that have already been claimed.
Yes, there have. So it would be good to hear from you if you'd like to join us. We'd love to have you.
And it's interesting how one of them that was claimed was one that I would have claimed. But Jean got JL before I did. She is a really interesting character of the Bible if you don't know her. She might be classified as one of those bad women of the Bible by some people. She's an interesting personality. So anyone who would like to take on the challenge of finding a woman of the Bible that you'd like to research and talk about with us, please contact Michelle. Make sure that your woman hasn't been claimed already, and we would love to see you at Bible study. Wednesday, we have at 8 o'clock men's breakfast right here, so all men are encouraged to attend. And I guess I'm the token woman who tries to show up. At 5:30, we have youth group, so all of our youth are invited to attend. Thursday at 1 o'clock, here we will have the prayer shawl ministry so that we can continue to make those prayer shawls and talk about ways that we can distribute them so that others in the community can feel the warmth of God's love enveloping them as they put on a prayer shawl. At 2 o'clock, on Thursday, we have bell choir practice. Next Sunday at 2 p.m. is the church council meeting. Are there any other announcements that we need to be aware of? Michelle?
I'd like to let everybody know that we're going to have our prestigious Bill Hawley speak at the next women's meeting.
Prestigious?
It's better than notorious.
True.
And the time has been changed from 1 to 1:30. And that's Wednesday, May 18th.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I look on that sheet. I think it's the 18th.
Is it on Wednesday, May 18th at 1:30.
Wednesday, May 18th. So we'd like you to join us for that, too, because it should be very interesting.
And the topic will be brain health. Sometimes we call it mental health. And the stigma that kind of surrounds and clouds conversations about that, that doesn't cloud things like, none of us are afraid to talk about heart disease or diabetes, are we? But for some reason, we have some things to get in our way to talk about brain health. So that's what we'll be talking about.
Sounds good. So all are invited. Invite your friends as well. I invite you to stand as you're able for the confession of forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen, number 377.
Every day.
and listen for those words again in one of our readings. Let us pray. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the first readings.
The first reading is from the 9th chapter of Acts. God speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 30 responsively. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health.
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance.
God's wrath is short, God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning.
When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed.
You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying,
what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my wailing into dancing and have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
The second reading is from the 5th chapter of Revelation. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and all that is in them, singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb to be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After he had appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Although I need a volunteer. Do I have a volunteer? All right. Everyone else is saying, "I don't know." She wants me to volunteer. All right. What I need you to do is stand right over here. All you have to do is hold this one sign. All right? Okay. What I need all of you to do is tell me what this says. All right? You see it?
Yeah.
McDonald.
Okay. What? So what does it say?
McDonald.
McDonald. All right. Thank you. All right. How about this?
McNeil.
Okay. Again?
McNeil.
Okay.
Machine.
Thank you. All right. You're more clever than I thought, because sometimes people would say, what? Mekind. Now, why would you say Mekind if you did? You got it.
First two.
Because it followed the first two. If it's McDonald, if it's McNeil, then it should be Mekind. But it isn't.
In some places it might.
In some places it might, but we know it's machine. That's the thing. We have a God of surprises. So that we know that things usually follow a pattern. Just as we saw the McNeil, the McDonald. They follow a pattern. We're used to seeing people, when they die, they stay dead. And Jesus did not follow that pattern. Because he was raised from the dead. And he started making appearances. And in our gospel reading today, he appeared in another place where they were not expecting him to be.
as one of our hymns said, we have a God of surprises. In this Easter time, we need to open ourselves up to the surprising places where we are going to find Jesus, and to realize that that old pattern has been broken. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our gospel reading today, we have Jesus' third appearance to his disciples, his fourth resurrection appearance in the Gospel of John. His first two appearances were on the day of his resurrection. The first was to Mary Magdalene, who did not recognize him and thought he was the gardener. The second, that evening, was to the disciples gathered in fear in a locked room, all except for Thomas. The third was a week later in that same locked room, but this time Thomas was present. Thomas, who had asked to share in the experience of seeing the risen Christ, and in doing so cried out, "My Lord and my God." We are not told how much time has elapsed, but at least seven of the disciples have now left that locked room in Jerusalem and returned to their home in Galilee. Thomas is there, along with Simon Peter, Nathanael, James and John, who are the sons of Zebedee, and two unnamed others. And Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Whether it's because he has returned to his old life or doesn't know what else to do with himself, he is going fishing. And the others say, "Well, if you're going fishing, we're going with you." They fished all night and caught nothing. At daybreak, Jesus appeared to them, but not too surprisingly, they don't recognize him. Because so far, all of the appearances of Jesus have been in Jerusalem. Perhaps they do not expect him to show up anywhere else. He tells them to cast their net to the right side of the boat. They do so and are unable to haul up the large catch of fish. At this, one of the disciples recognizes him. Peter, we're told, hastily puts on some clothes and jumps into the water while the others come to shore in the boat, which seems the more logical way of doing things, dragging the net full of fish. And after everyone is ashore, they see a charcoal fire with fish on it. And Jesus called to them to bring some of their fish. So they hauled the net ashore. We're told it was a catch of large fish, 153 large fish, yet the net was not torn. 153 large fish. How many of you fishermen have ever caught that many large fish? It's a lot of fish. It's a sign of God's abundance and an overflowing of God's blessing. Jesus told them to bring some of the fish, which initially seems like a strange request. After all, we've been told there are already fish cooking on the fire. So why is he asking that they bring some of the fish they've just caught? What he's doing is asking them to participate in his work in the world. They're not just to be recipients of God's generosity, but to be givers themselves. Jesus then said, "Come and have breakfast." By this time, all of them know that it is Jesus. Jesus takes the bread, gives it to them, does the same with the fish. And so they had breakfast together on the shore. Can you imagine having breakfast with Jesus? What would you say to him as you sat by the lake? Or would you be too awestruck to say anything? We're told that there was a charcoal fire on the shore on which the fish were being cooked. The last time that a charcoal fire was mentioned, it was the night of Jesus' arrest. Peter was standing with a group that was warming themselves around such a fire. And he was asked, "You're not one of this man's disciples, are you?" We know what Peter said. "I am not." And again, he was asked, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" And again, he said, "I am not." And another person said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And Peter again denies it. And then what happens? Arr! Yeah, exactly. The cock crows. This fulfilled what Jesus had said to Peter. "Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." And Peter must remember this. He must remember that denial. And what must it be like to be right there with Jesus, knowing what you have done? What's Jesus going to say? Now, after they'd finished breakfast, Jesus looks at Simon Peter and doesn't say the words that Peter is expecting. Instead, he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" It's not clear what he meant by "more than these." More than Simon Peter loves the other disciples? More than the other disciples love Jesus? More than Peter loves fish? But whatever is meant, Peter's response is, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus replies, "Feed my lambs." And a second time, Jesus asks Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Tend to my sheep." And a third time, Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And now Peter feels hurt and says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." See, for each of the denials that Peter made on the night of Jesus' arrest, he now is asked to make a profession of his love. And he does so. And then he's being told that he needs to put that love into action by putting down his fishing nets, by leaving his old life behind, and by taking up the shepherd's staff, tending and feeding those who are part of Jesus' flock, those who love and follow Jesus. He is to exercise leadership in the early church, to step out in faith and in love and in service. But he's also told what will happen to him. Do you remember the hymn that we sang every Sunday during Lent?
I have decided
what?
To follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And Peter, in making these statements, has made that profession that he indeed will follow Jesus, no turning back, no matter what. And he's told that if he does so, that one day he will die in a way that will glorify God. Although Scripture does not reveal how or when Peter died, it is often stated that he died in Rome, condemned to death by crucifixion, but because he did not consider himself worthy to suffer the same death as Christ, he was crucified upside down. Although we do not know for certain how or when he died, it is safe to say that Peter died a martyr, fulfilling what he had once told Jesus, "I will lay down my life for you." In today's gospel, Jesus feeds his disciples and then sends them into the world to care and feed others. When we come to worship, we are nourished with God's gifts of word and sacrament that strengthen us so that we can go into the world for service to our neighbors and to all of creation. Whatever our ages, whatever our stage in life is, we all have work to do. And at this time, I would like us to affirm our vocations using the affirmation of Christian vocation found on page 84 of our hymnal. I'll give you time to turn to that if you like to. You don't really need to. page 84. Brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, beloved children of God, both your work and your rest are in God. Will you endeavor to pattern your life on the Lord Jesus Christ in gratitude to God and in service to others, at morning and evening, at work and at play, all the days of your life? If you do, please state, "I will," and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Almighty God, by the power of the Spirit, you have knit these your servants into the one body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Look with favor upon them in their commitment to serve in Christ's name. Give them courage, patience, and vision, and strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and of service to others, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us join together in our hymn of the day. What wondrous love is this? It is number 666.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for the church, people in need, and all of creation. Holy One of new beginnings, fill us with new life. Send us into the world as you sent your apostles Philip and James to invite people to come and see your wondrous acts in Christ. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Revive ecosystems along coastlines that have been devastated by natural forces and human negligence. Reestablish plant and animal life that purifies air and water and that feeds humans and other living creatures. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Accompany laborers who get little rest from their work. Give them hope when they struggle to produce what they need. Give all who labor fair treatment and just wages. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Restore all people who cry to you for help, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. And for all who are on our prayer chain, turn their mourning into dancing, clothe them with joy, and put a testimony of healing and praise on their lips. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be present to faithful ones who are persecuted for following you, and for all those who are being persecuted in Ukraine and other parts of the world. Sustain them by your faithfulness and give them strength in the name of Jesus. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Join our voices with angels, creatures, and all saints in praising Christ and bestowing upon him all blessing and honor and glory. Reveal Christ's glory to us and through us in our worship. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. Peace be with you. And we thank you for sending in your offerings, for bringing them here, or for giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory Give Thanks.
Our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places
Give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join your unending hymn.
Mercy on us.
together in our sending song, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. It is number 392.